Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Thursday's show, I'll chat with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about some of the early season developments in the National Basketball Association. But we begin with a Sunny Side of Sports salute for Major League Baseball's Texas Rangers, who won their first World Series title in the team's 63-year history. The Rangers shut out the host Arizona Diamondbacks Wednesday night 5-0 to win the World Series 4-1. Now, Game 5 in Phoenix was scoreless until the seventh inning when Rangers shortstop Corey Seager singled and then scored on an RBI single by Mitch Garver. The Rangers sealed the victory in the ninth inning with 4 more runs, including a 2-run homer by second baseman Marcus Semien. Corey Seager won the World Series Most Valuable Player Award. Corey also won the same MVP prize in 2020 when he played for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hey, Corey, how does it feel to be a 2-time World Series champion?
It truly is incredible. But it's not just me, man. What this team did and how we competed and all the guys in there rallying, you know, we don't really have one leader. You know, that whole clubhouse is a leadership. They're all professionals in there, and we all knew we had a job and a task at hand, and we competed and we did it. You know, it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool indeed. And Corey Seager also credits his Texas teammates.
It's a group effort. The ability for us to pass the baton mentality all year, you know, we talked about it in spring training, and to be able to carry it over in the biggest moments, you know. We said you don't always have to be the guy that day, which is stress relieving. You know, it helps everybody out 1 through 9, and just be able to go out there and do it and perform it. It's a whole team thing.
Meanwhile, the winning pitcher in Game 5 was Nathan Eovaldi.
The leadoff walk to start the game, having traffic, like you said, 1 through 5, and it wasn't easy. And you know, I was able to make the big pitches when I really needed to. Defense was great. You know, Evan Carter out there in left field, he made some really good reads out there and was able to leave guys.
Congratulations to Nathan Eovaldi and the Texas Rangers, the 2023 World Series champions in Major League Baseball. And a little history about the team. The team has its origins right here in Washington, getting its start in 1961 when the team was known as the Washington Senators. The team moved to Texas in 1972 and was renamed the Texas Rangers. Washington went without Major League Baseball for 33 years until the relocation of the National League's Montreal Expos, who became the Washington Nationals in 2005. The Nationals ballpark is within walking distance of our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Bob Knight, one of the college game's most controversial and iconic figures, has died at the age of 83. Knight had suffered from dementia in recent years. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
The turbulent and brilliant basketball coach Bob Knight has died. His temper was legendary. In 1985, he tossed a chair across the court. But he took pride in his players' high graduation rates and never was accused of a major NCAA violation.
I don't expect you people to have agreed with what I've done. And if I did, I would have asked your opinion.
Knight led the Hoosiers to 3 NCAA championships. He was among college basketball's winningest coaches with 902 victories in 42 seasons at Army, Indiana, and Texas Tech.
Bob Knight retired from coaching in 2008. In 1984, he guided a U.S. Olympic men's team that included Michael Jordan to the gold medal in Los Angeles. At a news conference in 2001, Coach Knight reflected on his career.
You look back and you say, is there something that could have been changed? Is there something? And I'm not going to get into what can I change and what can I. I think we all have things we can change. I think I'm no different than anybody else. I think we all have things that we'd like to take back that we did or we said. We'd like to improve upon things. If I'm different than anybody else in that regard, then I kind of have had a misplaced understanding of people during my lifetime.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Bob Knight, dead at the age of 83. The National Basketball Association recently tipped off a new season with some interesting storylines, including the debut of French phenom Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. In the biggest trade of the new NBA season, the Philadelphia 76ers sent disgruntled star guard James Harden to the Los Angeles Clippers. Joining me now to discuss these and other NBA developments is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, James Harden heading west, and you headed west recently to Arizona. That's an area of the USA I'm not really familiar with. Can you tell our VOA listeners a bit about that area and your trip?
Yeah, absolutely. Arizona is a beautiful, beautiful state. Definitely extremely scenic. One of the most interesting things is how within a two-hour drive, the weather from Phoenix to Flagstaff, interestingly enough, drops. I believe when we flew in, it was about 65 degrees, and then by the time we got to Flagstaff, it was like 32 degrees, which is 0 degrees Celsius. It was really
quite
cold.
Quite a drop.
Yeah, because it's super elevated, right? So it's about 8,000 feet up, but very mountainous, scenic, just beautiful all around. So I definitely enjoyed myself. Just wasn't prepared for that cold for a bit.
Well, as I mentioned, Mukbil, James Harden now playing for the Los Angeles Clippers, although he hasn't officially played a game for the Clippers yet. He was in street clothes on Wednesday night as the Clippers went against their crosstown rival, the Lakers. Great game, went into overtime with the Lakers prevailing 130-125. Let's first talk about the game, Mukbil. Looks like LeBron, ageless at this point. Your thoughts?
LeBron James puts up 35 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. This is just amazing to see an individual continually showcase this level of skill. In year 20, like, Sonny, like, he played 42 minutes, you know.
Amazing.
I just don't understand what it is that's going on with this not so young man, you know. he played extremely well. Anthony Davis put up 27. D'Angelo Russell had an extremely, extremely good game with 27 points as well. All around, I think it was a really, really good game from them three. Austin Reeves gave them about 15 as well. Crucial 15 because he played really well in certain pockets in the fourth quarter alongside overtime as well. So, yeah, all in all, I think L.A. really, really made sure that they let the Clippers know, hey, we're still the big brothers here. interestingly, though, as we mentioned earlier, you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi had 38. Paul George had 35. Russell Westbrook had 24 points and 11 rebounds and 8 assists. This is like, this game just really, you know, brought the best out of all of these players. Everybody I've mentioned, you know, on the Clippers side are future Hall of Famers. Now, who's to say if James Harden's not in street clothes, you know, that he doesn't just tip the game in their favor?
Well, Muckbill, James Harden made no secret that he wanted to join the Clippers. He had been feuding with Philadelphia management ahead of that trade. And now he joins an already potent Clippers lineup. What was your reaction to the trade, Muckbill, when it was finally signed, sealed, and delivered?
So my thing is, I have, I don't know, interesting feelings about it, simply because the last two situations prior to Philadelphia that James Harden was in, he was in the Houston Rockets for a very big portion of his rise to stardom, right? And that was not a very good organize. Like, when he was leaving that team and that organization, it just was very distasteful, right? So he ends up leaving that in a very similar fashion. He ends up going to the Brooklyn Nets to go and play alongside Kyrie Irving and his buddy Kevin Durant, that he has a past with in OKC. But still, similarly, it just doesn't work out, and he kind of forces his way out of there as well. He gets to Philadelphia, and he's with, you know, Joel Embiid. You know, we're trusting the process. They're looking decent last year in the playoffs. You know, maybe a couple of right plays or the right, you know, player in the mix. Maybe they end up, you know, going further than they did. Now, I could not have seen him leaving the organization because of what ended up happening with them last season. So I just don't know how that ended up happening. So I just didn't like how it played out, because I think the Sixers fans really deserved better than how James kind of pushed his way out of it. So now the biggest question is, what will he do from now? Is he going to continue this, you know, behavior that we've seen? And if things don't go right for him, forcefully push his way out of LA as well.
It was interesting, Muckbill, that, you know, Harden is watching LeBron turn in another great performance on Wednesday night. LeBron has played with three different teams over his stellar career, the Cavaliers, the Heat, and now the Lakers. He's won championships with all three of those teams. I think the Clippers are Harden's fifth team during his long NBA career. None of those five, at least up to now, Muckbill, has won any type of trophy. I mean, do you see Harden as a unifier on a team, or you know, maybe he just kind of messes things up?
I think Harden, earlier on in his career with OKC, him and Russell Westbrook played together. So, you know, and they also are from LA as well. So, interestingly enough, the four main guys on the Clippers organization, James Harden, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Kawhi Leonard, are all from Southern California. They all were in the same circuits, you know, growing up, playing, you know, in opposing high schools and such. So I think, you know, him maybe playing back at home might be that, you know, that next level that might be able to put him over the top and kind of push everything else to the side. Maybe they say, hey, let's put this to the side and have some young LA boys, you know, maybe bring the very first NBA championship to the LA Clippers. I don't know. But the one thing that I do like about this move is that there's so much star power around this team that he really doesn't have the ability to be his usual self. You know, sometimes folks might say that, you know, some of his tactics are very diva-ish. But, you know, when you have three other potential Hall of Famers. I think I should say, you know, future Hall of Famers, that, you know, maybe he gets in line and really just does what he needs to do. Because we saw glimpses of the James Harden that's ready to work last year in the playoffs in certain games, really, where he showed up alongside Joel Embiid, lifted him up, and got the job done. So if he's able to just be a shell of himself, I think he's an extremely great asset for this team, especially from the offensive end. You know, you have three other players who are extremely great defenders as well. So you really don't need that from him. You got a guy like PJ Tucker on the team now, who literally all he does is play defense. So I think, you know, if you can get a little bit of James Harden just to buy into it, I think this team will do some things as long as they can stay fully healthy, which has been a big problem for them in the past.
Muckbill, some have said that with James Harden's departure, Joel Embiid might want out of Philadelphia as he tries to win his first NBA title. Do you see Embiid being happy in Philadelphia now that, you know, he's going to be playing without Harden?
I think Embiid's situation is unique in that, you know, the Philadelphia organization, the 76ers organization, really believed in this young man, having had two extremely injury-prone seasons starting off in his career, and they kind of just rode the wave and waited it out. They trusted the process. So in that, I believe that there would be some loyalty. You know, it's not as if they haven't tried to get, you know, talent around him. I think a different situation would be a situation like LeBron was in his first stint with the Cavaliers, where they really weren't getting him the talent around him to be able to get anything done. I think that the Sixers organization has definitely tried and listened to Joel, given him as much, you know, potential, you know, teammates that were of a higher caliber. So I think he'll wait it out and kind of just, you know, prey upon a star that, you know, maybe as lucky as Giannis got Dame Lillard, somebody of that quality kind of just falls into his lap.
Well, speaking of quality, Muckbill, Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs, the young French teenager, off to what I think is an excellent start with San Antonio. Coach Popovich really seems to be regulating his minutes. And your thoughts on the early season performance of Wemby?
Victor Wembanyama has shown really, you know, promise in that not only is he an offensive juggernaut, but he plays extremely well defensively. He's a very, very selfless young man. I really like everything that I've been seeing from him on both sides. Interestingly enough, on my birthday on Tuesday, he was playing in Phoenix as we were heading to the airport. So, you know, I definitely thought to myself that maybe we should try to catch the game, but you know, we had to make it back home. But in that game, they beat the Phoenix Suns 115-114. I think that although the game was a very, very interesting game, I think that KD really had way too much weight, if I could say that. He had to basically carry the entire team, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, the other two heads of that three-headed monster. Were out injured, so it'll be a different game. I believe they also play tonight. I believe they play on Thursday. We will see. We will see how it'll happen. I think Devin Booker might be back. Bradley Beal still won't be. But what change will Devin Booker bring to this team? He's easily can go for 40. What a talent! So. I definitely would love to see these two teams, you know, play in the playoffs. But Victor has reinvigorated the San Antonio Spurs organization. Some thought that Coach Greg Popovich had lost it. But I think, you know, he kind of has got this second wind of life in his coaching with this young talent.
Finally, Muck Bill, as I take a look at some of these early season results, the Celtics, such a proud franchise, they were rolling on Wednesday night. They crushed the Indiana Pacers 155-104. Celtics unbeaten so far. And I'm looking at the box score now, Muck Bill. Celtics had seven players in double figures, led by Jason Tatum's 30 points. Celtics look like they're NBA Finals material right now.
I really like that. I think the Boston Celtics, this young core with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, has really, you know, been the catalyst for this team's success in the postseason, you know, making it all the way to the finals, but losing. But nonetheless, they've always been knocking right at that door, whether it was Eastern Conference Finals or making it all the way to the finals. I think, you know, with the addition of, you know, Jrue Holiday, who added 15 points, Kristaps Porzingis with 13 points, I think this team just might have, you know, what it takes now to get over that last hump. You know, Kristaps Porzingis at one point in his career was called the unicorn. You know, maybe Victor Wembanyama is the new unicorn now. But you know, Kristaps, when he's really in his zone, is a phenomenal talent. So, you know, can he stay healthy? And because of the fact that he has so many talented younger players, he's able to defer to them. So maybe the workload that was, you know, on him when he was in New York isn't really going to be on him here. You know, he had a stint in Washington, which really didn't pan out as maybe Wizards fans would have hoped. But yeah, I really like what Kristaps is able to do. And I think Jason Tatum really is the most important player on that team. And as he goes, the rest of this team goes.
Talking Hoops with Muck Bill Yabberoh. Thank you, Muck Bill.
Thank you, Sonny.
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. If you go to my Facebook page on this Thursday, you'll see a photo of the 67-year-old Belgian football coach, Paul Put, who was introduced as the new head coach of Uganda. Coach Put has extensive coaching experience in Africa. Before taking over the Cranes of Uganda, the Belgian tactician was coach of Gambia, Burkina Faso, Kenya, Guinea, and Congo Brazzaville. Yes, I'm sure Coach Put has had his passport stamped a few times. And on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports, our friend in Kampala, Magume Davis Raka Winge, will have a report on Uganda hiring Paul Put. Earlier in the show, Muck Bill Yabberoh and I were talking about Joel Embiid. The Cameroonian basketball star is inspiring young players in his homeland of Cameroon. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Moki Edwin Kinzaka tells us more from Yaoundé.
Young Bama Francis trains with about 20 of his peers at a community basketball pitch in Longkak, a neighborhood in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. The 11-year-old says he and the other teenagers have big dreams.
I want to be a big star like Joel Embiid. I usually watch him on TV, on NBA. And I asked my father, and my father said he used to play basketball on this very pitch at Langkap.
It is on this very pitch that one of the best basketball players on the planet, Joel Embiid, had his humble beginnings, which eventually made him to travel to America at the age of 16. Daniel Akono was Embiid's teammate, roommate, and very close friend at Kosenge Basketball Club in Yaoundé. Akono remembers how the beginning was tough for Embiid.
What people should know about Joel is that with his height, his uncle saw that he can very quickly become a professional if he play basketball. So his uncle brought him to Langkap, to Kosangwe. And the coach of Kosangwe during that period was Coach Mojo. And that is how Embiid and I became friends. Since he was living in BMRC, it was very difficult for him after the practice of the morning to go back home in BMRC and come back in the afternoon. So it was crucial for him to stay here with me. This is how we created our relationship.
Akono said he also wanted to travel to America, but God had different plans for him. He says he feels proud that Embiid made it where he could not and valuably represents Cameroon. Among Embiid's admirers is Didier Bidias, who in 2011 was director of Mba Amote Camp that assembles and helps talented basketball players to live their dreams. Embiid took part at the camp.
We discovered that Joel had a great potential at just 15. He was 2.9 meters tall, and that was great for the team. We thought it was a good opportunity to give him the chance to participate in the youth NBA games in South Africa, even though initially no one trusted his talent.
Didier adds that basketball has lifted Embiid from an unknown person in Cameroon to a world superstar.
Joel Embiid, comme lui-même le dit, son histoire est un film.
Joel Embiid used to say his journey is a miraculous one because he sustained an injury in 2014 on the eve of his pre-selection for Philadelphia side. He had to spend 3 extra years down before officially playing his first game on October 29, 2017 against Thunders, and he got 29 points.
Ils vont gagner le championnat.
But Embiid's decision to become both a French and U.S. citizen in 2022 is causing strong reactions in his country of birth, Cameroon. Many Cameroonians say he should have returned home to help Cameroon's national basketball team that is keeping the dream of qualifying to their first men's Olympic basketball tournament alive after winning their first continental title in the sport. Fabien Onana, however, says Embiid can play for either France or America, but his love for Cameroon never fades.
Bon, on attend de Joel Embiid en tant que jeune Camerounais de venir investir au Cameroun.
He says Joel Embiid has already inspired thousands of Cameroonian youths to love and play basketball. Onana says Embiid told Cameroon state broadcaster CRTV that he will give assistance to his country of birth by constructing modern basketball courts and equipping basketball teams. He says Embiid remains a patriot and Cameroon's ambassador in the basketball world.
C'est un modèle. Aller loin et ne pas oublier ses origines. C'est louable.
The NBA announced that 29-year-old Embiid was most valuable player in May 2023. The player who left Cameroon in 2012 to pursue basketball in the United States is the second African to have been awarded the distinction after Nigeria's Hakeem Olajuwon in 1994. Embiid's rise to basketball glory is a huge inspiration for Cameroonian basketball players and youths yearning to play the game. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
And that wraps up the November 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.